Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefree, and this is episode number 212. I want to thank you guys for listening each week, especially the people that reach out through social media, leave ratings, reviews, comments, all those types of things. Really appreciate that. Also want to thank our sponsors, and specifically Trey and Heroic, for bringing this episode to you for free. Only partner with brands that I believe in and use myself, and Trey and Heroic is a group that I've used for quite some time now and really appreciate what they do. This week, I'm joined by Tim Anderson. He's the owner of Original Strength. He's an author. He's a lot of things. He's a man of mystery, and we're gonna get into all those things. But Tim, I really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Ron, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Tim, I want to jump right into this here. You know, you were a statistician, and then now you're you know the leader, the face, the owner of Original Strength, and really a movement. You know, when it comes to strength and conditioning. And so, how do you go from being a statistician to now, you know, this pillar of fitness?
That's really easy. All you have to do is get laid off,
right?
And then next thing you know, when you're seeking other employment or finding out what you want to do in your life, things come up. So I got laid off from MCI when they took over in a merger. Jumped into the fire department and had a lot of time on my hands.
Sure.
And started a personal training business on my days off from the fire department. And luckily for me, I was over exuberant about training, always have been, and I was getting overuse injuries. And I got aggravated with those and tried to look for a way to get out of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's so many times, I mean, people, and it goes, you know, it's not if, it's when in strength and conditioning, you know, it's when, you know, you're going to get fired, not if you're going to get fired, if you're in it long enough. And I mean, you know, so many people will look at that and they're so fearful of that, but sometimes the best things happen in your life when your back's kind of against the wall and you kind of have to rethink things. And I imagine you kind of went through some soul searching during that period of time.
Honestly, it was absolutely the best thing that had ever happened to me at that point, or that could have happened to me at that point, because Ron, I grew up in my house where my mom and my dad, my entire life, they had a job, the same job for like 30 years,
right?
30 plus years. And so when I was sitting there as a statistician, every day I was there, I was thinking, this is what I'm going to be doing for the next 30 years. Like, I did not know. For whatever reason, it never struck me that I could do something different. I just
right.
thought I was stuck.
Right.
So I got a good kick in the butt and said that, no, I'm not stuck.
You want to stab your eyes out with a number two pencil some days, I would imagine.
It was horrible.
Well, I think that's, I mean, it resonates with me, obviously, with making kind of a shift as well. I mean, I'm still coaching, you know, and still working with teams and different things, but it's a different type of avenue of strength and conditioning that I've been pursuing. And so there is some, you know, ambiguity, and there's some, you know, some anxiety with that comes, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of like an excitement, you know, an eager anxiety that goes with it. So that's awesome, man. You know, along the way you had some mentors there that kind of helped you kind of, you know, get down your path here. I mean, I know you worked with John Brookfield and I know you consider Dan John a mentor, and you know, what kind of impact did those guys have on your life as a coach in those early days?
Tremendous. And still today, they have such an influence on me. John Brookfield, he created Battling Ropes, and he just took me under his wing. I don't know if you know much about John, but he's in the Guinness Book of World Record for almost everything. But just a brilliant, brilliant man. But he, for whatever reason, he took a liking to me and took me under his wing. And I can tell you, had it not been for John, there probably would not be Original Strength, especially as it is right now. So he had as much to do with creating Original Strength as I did. Just for example, he told me that battling ropes was created because he was pulling a truck and trying to set the world record for pulling a 40,000-pound truck a mile. And he said that he asked God to show him how to train for work capacity. And he said God had taught him how to use a rope.
Wow.
So that's how battling ropes was created, right?
That's awesome.
So I told you I had overuse injuries, and one night I was frustrated and I was mad, and I said, you know what, if John can do this, so can I. And I kid you not, I asked God to show me how to train to be resilient, to be bulletproof. And within a couple of weeks, I was crawling on the floor like a baby and rolling around on the floor, and he just connected the dots for me.
Oh, that's
And
awesome.
that's honestly how OS started right there.
I mean, as Christian guys, I mean, we can appreciate that, but just even if you're not a Christian strength coach, I mean, understanding that, you could find inspiration in the craziest places,
Yes.
and you should be, and you should keep your mind open to that, not ever close your mind, because you never in a million years thought, as when you opened your first personal training studio, that you're going to be crawling around and
No.
having thousands of people crawling around as well. So that's awesome. Well, I mean, when opening that gym, and then kind of going through the process of owning businesses and pivoting and, finding your way to your niche, you've probably made, a bunch of mistakes.
Yes.
What's one of the biggest mistakes you made, and kind of how you learned from it?
Oh my gosh. I made a couple. As far as the business and training aspect of it, in the beginning, the biggest mistake I made was I kind of put it first, and let it take precedence over my family. And I still battle with that probably. I mean, to be honest, trying to draw that line.
Sure.
But now I'm so grateful that my wife is patient. And she put up with a lot of mess that she probably shouldn't have. So the biggest mistake was that just not having my eyes really on the right prize.
Right.
But after that, probably pigeonholing myself into certain modalities and not, like being very tunnel vision,
Yep.
only seeing one way to do things. I think that was not a good thing for me to do. And thankfully now I'm more open-minded.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And I think we've talked about this on the show quite a bit, but that work-life balance, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a myth. I mean, it doesn't exist, but
Right.
the difference is, and what the advice that I like to give, and I'm sure you would probably agree, is there are going to be periods of time when you're starting a business, when you're chasing the strength coach dream or whatever, that you're going to have to be tunnel vision and dialed
Yes.
in and all that. But the difference is being 100% present wherever you're at. Being 100, if you're at work and you're at work for 18 hours a day, be 100% present there. But when you are home for those 4 hours, or 6 hours, whatever it may be 100% present to your family, to your wife, to your husband, whatever. And hopefully that changes over time, and you can get it back, skewed the other way. But no, that's good stuff. Well, let's dive into, to Original Strength. I mean, obviously I read the book, Press and Reset, and thought it was fantastic. Recommend. I know you're working on another book, Habitual Strength, or you finished that up and you're about to work on another one, right?
Yes, sir.
But for those that are hearing Original Strength for the first time, what is it, and why should we even be concerned with it?
So, original strength is the idea that your body is made to be resilient throughout your entire life, that the best years of your life should not be the first 30,
Right.
because we've got, another 60, 70 years to go, and you should be strong and be able to live your life the way you want to throughout your life. So that's really the idea. Nobody was created to be weak, frail, fragile, or broken, period. Now, a lot of people accept that, but that doesn't mean that they were created to be that way.
Sure.
So I think OS is basically, it takes you through how to, we call it pressing reset, how to hit the reset button on your nervous system and restore your mobility and your strength and allow you to live your life better.
So, I mean, you go through the book and you go through several ways to press reset. I mean, kind of take us through the system a little bit.
So we have five resets that we use to press reset, and honestly, they're So all the things that a child does when it's born to get strong enough to get up on 2 feet and start crawling all over the place and exploring the world, climbing into the pantry and all that crazy stuff you try to keep them from doing,
Right.
that was a developmental sequence that got them strong enough and made them very resilient. That developmental sequence was inside their nervous system before they were born, and it's still inside our nervous system 30 years after we're born, or 70 years after we're born. It's the same program is still in us, and we can tap back into it.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh no, and if we tap back into it, a lot of those same things happen again. We become strong again. We become able to move again freely. It just ties the body together.
Right. No, I thought it was fantastic how you linked those together. Go ahead and go through those five resets. I mean, I know you'll go in depth in the book, and everybody needs to go get the book, but what kind of take us through the system?
So the first reset, which is very popular today, is breathing.
Right.
Turns out breathing with your diaphragm actually makes you stronger. It's good for your nervous system, but it physically makes you very strong. The second reset is moving your head control. Your vestibular system lives in your head, and the way to keep it healthy is to actually move your head.
Right.
So, and a lot of people don't do that anymore. You know, through technology, we're very good at keeping our head very still or in one spot.
Sure.
Heck, people are even afraid to look up in the sky and look at the top of buildings or like look up in trees now for some reason. The next reset or the third reset is rolling around on the floor. That really ties your body together very well and just floods your brain with amazing information about what your body's doing. And the reset after that is rocking on your hands and knees. That is probably, you know, if you had to pick one that it like just makes the biggest impact. Believe it or not, it might be rocking.
Right.
It restores posture, soothes the emotions in the mind, but it really just connects your entire body. Helps your stabilizers learn how to stabilize, teaches your prime movers how to move, sets them free,
Right.
just integrates everything about you. And then one of my favorites is the fifth reset is crawling
Right.
or midline crossing, contralateral movements like the gait pattern.
Right. All those, when done, and I'm going to ask you this question in a minute, kind of how would you integrate it into a program? But in my own programming, the ones that have had the most bang for my buck, anyway, you're right, is the rocking. The rocking, and I'll do rocking before I squat, and it's absolutely the best thing ever before, just the patterning movement. And then I love the crawling. I mean, those two. I mean, I think, probably me, much like a lot of strength coaches listening, would say, okay, where am I throwing head control and roll, rolling and breathing into the workout without looking like I'm just not doing anything with my players. I'm not doing anything in the workout. And I would imagine, when you first started doing these things, you had similar people looking at you like you're freaking a crazy person rolling around on the floor. But how did you handle that? And then how would you recommend, a strength coach in a team setting, kind of implementing these things.
So personally, fortunately for me, I've never really cared what people thought about what I do when I train. However, when I'm training other people, I try to find a connection where it makes sense. I try to find a way that makes them actually want to do it.
Sure.
So if I can show somebody within 30 seconds on how breathing will make them stronger or how moving their head a certain way will allow them to do something they haven't done in 5 years. Well, now I've got their attention and I can easily get them to do it, to do what
Right.
I want them to do. Now in a class setting, I use it, class or for my athletes, I use it as a movement prep or warm up, whatever people are calling it nowadays. I'll just take them through a 10-minute resetting session before we actually start their actual training session.
Sure.
And like you said, you like rocking. If I'm having my athletes do squats and they're heavy squats and they look like they're getting tired, I will actually use that rocking as active recovery in between the sets so that the fourth or fifth set looks just as good as the first or second, maybe even better, because it refreshes the nervous system.
Yeah, I would attest to that wholeheartedly.
So you know, you can mix them in into a training thing, training session. You can put them before a training session, and it is a great idea to press reset after a training session during their cool down, so that they
Right.
can actually recover faster and feel good after their training.
That was my biggest question, having read the book and then listened to you speak a couple times and been on the website and do all those things, is do you get the same benefit you know, if it's continuous, from either doing it before all the time or integrating it in throughout the workout?
I personally, in my experience, yes. You know, I think a person should probably implement the resets with whatever works best for their style of training. To me, though, the magic of the resets is the consistency. It is the day in, day out. And if you look at it from a child developmental standpoint, little Johnny did these things every single day for 3 years.
Right.
And then really did them until he had to go to school and was forced to sit all day. So, I mean, children are always, they live in original strength. They're always pressing reset.
Right.
And adults are actually designed. We should always be pressing reset too. We should never, like, everything we do should be, if we're connected well, should almost be a reset, where we keep our bodies tied together so that we do move optimally and efficiently all the time, not just after we do a 10-minute warm-up.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think when you talk to people and you talk about functional fitness, you know, a lot of times what people will do, you know, functional fitness is defined as, you know, your motor qualities, your strength qualities, and where most people will say, what are, you know, what's functional movements? They'll say the foundational movements, which Dan, you know, Dan John, right? It's squat, hinge, push, pull, drag, and carry. And those are foundational movements, you know, but those aren't the primal movements of crawling and jumping and landing,
right,
and rolling and those types of things. And I think that's what's often missed when it comes to functional fitness or functional training, is that three-dimensional space. It's working with that vestibular system and the central nervous system, and finding ways to challenge that, you know, as you get older. And I think that's what, you know, what you do such a great job of in your book, is you talk about, you know, infants, that's all they do, you know, 24/7, you know, and that's what we get away from as adults. And that's where often a lot of these injuries, like stepping off of a curb and, you know, or, you know, or things, you know, a stair or whatever leads to injury. You know, and
I
would agree with you 100% on that. What you've had some amazing kind of success stories, you know, and you know, and there's success stories in everything, right? But I mean, you've had,
yes,
some amazing ones. What are maybe two or three resets that you would use, or even maybe just one that like, if you do this and you get up, you're gonna know that you felt a difference?
Oh man, felt a difference. Thanks, Ron. That's really hard.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, right? To ask the hard questions.
Well, I'll tell you this: like, if I could only give,
if you could only, like, do one, how about that?
If I could only do one, like a reset, real quick, to really change somebody's life,
right,
honestly, and it's weird, I would probably give them the cross crawl where they're touching opposite arm and leg together.
Yeah.
And the reason I would do that is because anybody can do it. Like, you know, not anybody can relearn how or remember how to breathe,
right,
especially if they have been doing it wrong for 70 years. That could be one of the most impossible, frustrating things ever.
Right.
But a 99-year-old can still touch his opposite arm and leg together, even if he couldn't get out of a chair or if he was bedbound.
Right.
And the reason I would do that, though, is because that simple movement is so powerful, it can restore somebody's life. We had a lady on a walker and her husband helping her walk. And her, I mean, she was in her mid-70s, and my friend Rick set her down in a chair, taught her how to do cross crawls. And after that simple thing, she was able to get up on her own and walk out by herself unassisted, dragging her walker along with her. And her husband started crying.
That's awesome.
I mean, so that, just that story alone, I mean, you return a mid-70-year-old's life back, or a husband gets his wife back. That's powerful.
Right.
And it was just something as simple as touching opposite arm and leg together. And that's just one story. I mean, I can tell you other stories very similar to that,
right,
where just miraculous things have happened.
Yeah, and I think that's the misconception, at least the one that I had going in, is that crawling has to be on your hands and knees and on the ground. And all, I mean, you're talking cross crawling. She was sitting in a chair, tapping, as she was going. And that's something that for some people that's enough, you know, to create some sort of a stimulus to change. But I think it's, so, go ahead.
I was going to say, so for the cross crawl, what you have to do for somebody, especially when you want them to press reset, and if you're trying to change their life or change their situation, you have to meet them where their body's at. So the cross crawl is an easy way to meet somebody wherever they're at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's coaching, meet people where they're at, you know?
Yes, sir.
And I think, you know, for the strength coaches that are listening, where I've had a lot of success with this has been, you know, implementing it in as active recovery between sets throughout, because that's, I mean, those are times that are normally spent standing around in some weight rooms.
Right.
It's never in my weight room. I'm usually doing something, but instead of having, you know, continually putting resistance or stress on the body, being able to teach them how to be resilient with their own body weight has been something that I could really get behind and defend and, you know, for anybody walking in. And then I've also, you know, created, you know, some videos and stuff to push to my athletes, either via social media or just sending them a text or whatever, and having them do them in their dorm rooms at night and at home. You know, that's
awesome.
Something where, you know, they're a little bit, they can be a little bit more vulnerable. Maybe it's just a roommate. Maybe it's nobody.
Yes.
You know, they can be in the, you know, inside, and they can look odd, you know, and not have peer pressure kind of affecting things. And when I've done that, pretty much everybody that's done it consistently, you know, notices and sees results. And so that's been something that's been big for me.
Awesome. And that, I agree with you, man, that works. You know, people might not do stuff in public, but
right.
They'll, if they'll take 2 or 3 minutes and do something at home that they know is going to make them feel better.
Right.
That's a win.
You know, well, Tim, you know, we got to jump off here, but you know, before we go, I always get some resources from you. So what's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Oh man. I think it was from Coach Ethan Reeves, and he said, you have to love your athletes. You have to care about them.
Right.
And the way he unfolded that, it was just beautiful. You have to love your athletes and invest in them. And that's what he meant. You got to invest in them.
Yeah. You know, I want to go backwards. Just so I know we're tight on time, but I do want to go backwards, because just as a man of faith and how, you know, I know you're a strong Christian guy, but what, how have you, and this is regardless of your beliefs, whoever you're listening, how have you, when you have principles and values and morals and kind of, you know, a set belief system, when you're dealing with people that don't have that same belief system, you know, how have you gone about dealing with that and continually being, you know, just a witness or however you want to say that. And I think this is a good question for anybody that's listening, because not everybody's going to share your belief system, but how have you gone about kind of interacting with people that maybe are, you know, completely opposite of your belief system?
So the thing with OS is, and you might not know this, but in our workshops, I tell everybody, just like I told you, how OS was created. And I do that because I'm just not that smart. I'm not smart enough to create this on my own. And it was, to me, God created it. This is how he designed man to move.
Right.
And whether or not they believe that or not, I'm still true to what I believe and what I know personally that he has done and what he's done for me, because Ron, I feel awesome.
Right.
And he's taught me so much along the way that we just don't even have time to get into, but When I do that with people, though, whether or not they believe it or they buy it, I still love them. I still invite them to learn what their body is capable of doing. You know, you still invest in the person, because what you do, if Christ is in you, if God lives through you, then he's flowing from you.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if they agree with you or not. You still love them and you still accept them and you still show them and teach them what you've got in you, what you were put on here to share with others.
No, I agree 100%. Well, I think that, you know, and the reason why I asked that is because, I mean, you know, he was so instrumental in creating this system through you, and you're so free in sharing it that there are going to be people that you know, that maybe you're just stumbling across it, and they're going to be like, they'll roll their eyes and be like, okay.
Well, and there have been.
You know, that's all right. You know, and that's my point is with coaches that are listening. I mean, regardless, that could be just your system and your belief system when it comes to a type of training program, or it could be your faith, or it could be a lot of things. And you're going to approach that, and how you approach that, I think, is exactly what you said, is, you know, just trying to be a beacon, trying to be, you know, hey, this is what's worked for me. This is what my life is. This is how I deal with things. Maybe it's not right for you, but at the same time, I can learn from you just as much as you can learn from me, and let's find some middle ground here. And that seems to be we all want to move better, and
We all want to move better. And whether or not you believe what I'm saying is right, I can still teach you how to press reset. I can still help you move better.
yeah,
And that's what I want to do.
I agree. Well, last question is, just a book, app, website recommendation.
Book recommendation, I think Verbal Judo is phenomenal. And just a brief synopsis of that, it teaches you how to have a conversation with somebody and make them your ally instead of your adversary.
Kind of goes along with what we're talking about.
Yes, it does, absolutely. An app recommendation, man, the best, most useful app I've ever put on my phone was dictionary.com.
That's a good one. And the website.
Oh gosh, was that well, originalstrength.net. I think that's a really good
Yes. I think
or I really like Bible Gateway
That's one
dot
you put.
com.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good one as well. Well, I know, like we talked about, I mean, you have habitual strength as well. You have a lot of resources on your website. You mentioned your website. We'll make sure to link that up as well. And I know you got you have a series of workshops, but you have one coming up with a mentor of mine as well, Chip Morton, a guy I've worked with, on what, July 23rd, I think you said, right?
Yes, sir. On July 23rd, Chip Morton, Mark Shropshire from Baltimore, and myself are doing an OS performance workshop,
Awesome.
which is how to integrate all the resets into training and help people become better coaches.
Yeah, so if you're listening, I think if you're unfamiliar, I think I highly recommend picking up Press and Reset, going on the website, learning, and then I think integrating it into a performance setting is something that is really that's the key, and finding ways to do that, because I think that we all get caught up in either time and just not having enough time to hit all the different things, or perception or whatever it may be, and so Chip is one of the best. And obviously Tim is one of the best as well, and that's gonna be a freaking that's gonna be an awesome conference. So, well, man, I appreciate the way you do things and how you go about your business. And as I've mentioned many times on the show, innovators and originators, those are the people I like to surround myself with. And be it obviously divine intervention or whatever, you are an originator, and I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing, man.
Ron, thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefree.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefree's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefree in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefree can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefree, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefree. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.